didn't get any testimony whatsoever.
Several days prior to the incident. It had not been served.
Trying to discredit the premeditation.
You know the date of that warrant, Mr. Banks?
Hey, listen, white man, I have had all the bullshit from your race as I can take. $5,000 to kill an Indian. And yet when an Indian slapped a white CIA official, they slapped a $25,000 bail against him. That's the kind of double standards that we have to live up and live under. That's the only issue.
Whether he was white, black, red, or what, you know, under the circumstances given to me, just put it in the charge. Second degree manslaughter.
Okay. We're going to pay a visit this week. Take the visit. All right?
No, Pedro Bissonnette.
I haven't anything to do with that.
And Pedro Bissonnette, you got some federal people here in town to protect the lives of these murderers. You got federal troops out there ready to move in on us. Unarmed Indian people have come here to try to seek some justice for Indian families. Indian young people.
All I'm saying,
Pedro Bissonnette assaulted a federal officer, a welfare worker, CIA welfare worker, if you know what that means. And his bail was $25,000 that he had to pay and come up with. And that welfare worker is still ostracizing and dealing with Indian people down on Farm Ridge Indian Reservation. You charge a white man, premeditated murder, you charge him with second degree manslaughter. And we ain't going for it anymore. And I know this whole damn town is an armed camp, you know. And we're going to bring this issue up, and you're going to have to kill me before we cover it today. You understand?
I heard you. Yes, if that's what you want to know.
Damn, you goddamn right. That's what I want to know. That's it. That's all.
Okay. Why would the bail be $5,000
for him? Because bail is only to assure that a person will be here, and I'll guarantee the defendant will be here at the time of the trial.
What's going to guarantee that that man is not going to kill another Indian?
What makes you think he's going to do that?
You're going to
write about the last thing I think he'd do.
Why did you have to have $20,000 more of insurance against an Indian person?
I had nothing to do with the $20,000. That was another jurisdiction.
Some of you do.
Well, wasn't in that county. I had nothing to do with it.
You call out the Constitution of the United States?
You do a better idea.
And all the judicial process the same? County? Then why is this different from one kind to the other in terms of bail?
As I said before, bail is merely the equivalent of the standard of care.
But what is the difference from one kind to the other?
I can't answer for somebody else. Maybe he didn't make it part of the soul.
I know the soul, so
no question about that. He'll be there at the time of the trial.
So you know you're not going to get off. How many Indians are going to deal without going?
Because that's right. He'll come back to court to do his 90-day sentence. Or 1 year in jail. That's why you'll let him out.
I don't know.
Because you know he's coming back. You know he's coming back to do a 90-day sentence, don't you?
I know one thing, that what these gentlemen here are all saying is not helping me prosecute him for anything. It's gonna be very difficult for me to prosecute. I'm going to do my darnest to prosecute
you. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen beyond today, do we?
Of course not. No, nobody does.
No. I wouldn't even worry about that prosecution today.
But this is my point. I'm going to prosecute to the fullest extent on this second-degree manslaughter. And I assure you that I will do everything in my power. I'll get every witness that can help me in this case to prosecute him.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's
second-degree manslaughter.
Oh, yeah, they
were. No. You know that was murder.
No, I do not. Yeah.
You know it? This man knows it.
I don't
know
it. I don't think so.
Can you tell me if I had stabbed you in the heart,
that
would not be murder?
Well, it depends upon what the circumstances are. Keep
thinking
that.
You know what? If I knew I was going to get the same sentence that Schmidt got for stabbing somebody in the heart, I'm going to be asking for a knife in the next 5 minutes.
You're prejudging what might happen.
I know what's going to happen.
I saw
what happened down in Nebraska.
I saw
what happened in Arizona. It's happening here every day. See, Custer, South Dakota, this is in every goddamn city in America. Half Lake, Minnesota, that's Custer.
Now there are 11 Custers.
Buffalo Gap, that's Custer. You're Custer. This side's Custer. You're wearing the same uniform with the same intent. You're not protecting Indian citizens. Your friend McGovern said, at the request of this office, said that he would take all means necessary to protect the people in this area.
May I clear on this number?
What?
The governor is no friend of mine.
What position, you know, can this government take to take all necessary means to protect Indian citizens from this day forward? Give me that kind of assurance.
What church do you belong to?
Church?
Yeah.
I belong to the Native American religion.
Are any of you Episcopalians?
No. That has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does.
That's not going to bring back what you got.
No, our nation is a very fine gentleman.
If you're going to mention Schmidt, he's not a very fine gentleman. That's a murderer. What does fine Deloria have to do with this case?
Quite a bit, but I want to tell you.
When you discuss rearresting that man for first degree murder,
I will order
any murder charge, third degree or fourth degree.
I will investigate it. There's only one murder.
No,
not
that. And that was committed
January 18th. There isn't any first or second degree murder, it's just murder. Murder, first degree manslaughter, or second degree manslaughter.
Several years back, there was a white rancher shot an Indian person to death.
No, Belvedere. By the name of Bear.
What happened to Bear?
You know, I don't remember what happened. What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to Fed, right?
See, this court in South Dakota.
I did not take over the province of Missouri. All I can do is prosecute.
Court in South Dakota. I don't care, probably, if you did be arrested for first degree murder.
Come on in! Come on in! Come on in! Thank you. go out.
Thank you.
see if this bloody machine's working now so that we can get these proceedings taped this morning.
Officer Main. And you're talking about that elderly gentleman who was number two through the line, Peter Bearstop?
Yes.
And what is it that you can tell us about Peter Bearstop?
I remember seeing Mr. Bearstop taken out of a car on West Main Street, where the party had retreated from the initial confrontation. And taken out of the car by myself, Officer Erickson, and I believe Officer Spray.
And what was the reason for putting the patch on this man at that time?
Well, when I saw him, he was intoxicated. And I assume I didn't make the initial arrest, but he was intoxicated at the time he was taken.
Did you see him at all? What's your name?
Mays.
Officer Mays, did you see him at all during the confrontation on the courthouse steps?
I did not remember seeing him, no.
Okay.
Sprague, Highway Patrol, Hot Springs. This is one of the people that was involved in the setting some of the fires that was at the Standard Bulk Plant that had went down at the dead end and came back and had went down the street and come back to the east again. They were parked there. Whether they were waiting to exit the town, I can't say. But he was definitely taken out of one of the cars.
Down there near the in the vicinity of where the fire was started?
Yeah, just to the west of where the Chamber of Commerce was had been burnt.
Okay, thank you.
What's your name, sir?
Robert Heigl.
Robert Heigl, will you stand right over here and let this gentleman take your picture?
This is concerning the fourth defendant through the line on the 8th of February, Robert Heigl.
Officer Mays.
Yes.
Where are you stationed?
Sturgis.
All right. Will you tell us what, if anything, you know about Mr. Heigl's involvement in the affairs on the 7th at the courthouse?
After the initial confrontation at the door, several of our officers attempted to hold the stairway at the bottom of the courthouse steps. And in doing so, we were assaulted by the front members of the group, including Mr. Heigl, who struck and severely injured Officer Small.
Did he have anything in his hand?
Yes, he had what looked to be a chain, which he struck Officer Small across the arms with. And at that time, I struck Mr. Heigl and put him out of the action. And as soon as the crowd dispersed, I placed Mr. Heigl under arrest for assault of the officer and advised him of his constitutional rights. He was then taken and placed into custody at the hospital.
Bernie Christensen, DCI. On the morning of 2-6-73 at 10:05 a.m. Mountain Time, Robert Heigl came to the Custer County Courthouse. He asked me at that time if he could see the Custer County State's Attorney. I took him inside. I got him into the room adjacent to where the state's attorney was and searched him for weapons. At that time, he was allowed to go in and see the state's attorney. He also had a hat on at that time. And then during the confrontation, he returned, and I noticed him in the battle there in the hallway. I didn't know which officer he had hit, but I knew that he was in the hallway and was present during the confrontation.
Officer Small, Rapid City. Robert Heigl was involved in an incident in front of the courthouse in that he grabbed the woman identified as Sarah Bernhardt Bow and attempted to use her as a shield to enter the courthouse. He was told to get back. He refused, stating that he would they both have to be killed. A confrontation developed and he was pushed back down the stairway, and I recall him coming at me, striking me with a piece of pipe.
Iron pipe, was it?
Piece of iron pipe.
Where did he hit you?
Across the side of the helmet at that time.
Does it result in the bruises you have?
No, it had no result at that time. A different incident altogether.
You were assaulted later?
I was assaulted later on by the same gentleman. Further on down towards the front of the courthouse, assaulted there by him.
Did he have a weapon at the second?
The second time he also had the piece of iron pipe, and at that time I received a blow on the head to identify the party as being the subject that had the pipe.
Okay, thank you.
This would be concerning the first defendant through the line, Tim Bobel, or Tim Bobel, whichever it is.
Benny Christensen, DCI. When I was out, just a minute. When I was out on the east side of the courthouse, confronting the subject that was going to throw the torch into the courthouse, I saw this guy in the blue shirt who I described, or who I identify as Tim Bobel, or Bobel, next to Ernie Pepin's car. He had pulled the microphone out of the radio, and at that time I heard him say on the radio, fuck you white trash sons of bitches, over the radio or something in that arrangement of words anyway. He was around Pepin's car at the time it was being damaged.
Officer Anderson, Rapid City Highway Patrol. Concerning number four, Robert Hayes, do you have any recollections concerning his involvement in the fracas on the 7th or 6th?
Robert Hayes, this is Lieutenant Anderson, Highway Patrol. Robert Hayes was observed by me assaulting Sergeant Schmall. He was in the courthouse corridor and barely at that time.
Did you observe him with any weapon in his?
Apparently, that was a club or a bar.
This is concerning number five, Melvin Hall, on our list.
Okay, this is Officer Mays. I observed this young man coming up the street from the area where the bolt plant was started on fire and by the JC building. At that time, he was being extremely profane and seemed to be partially intoxicated, and he was not listening or heeding any orders made by the officers. And I believe he was taken into custody by Officer Morgan.
He's Officer Morgan. He was arrested for disorderly conduct. Officer Stoner and myself had four male Indians in custody. This subject came running down from the area of the Chamber of Commerce, wanting to know what the hell we were doing. They're picking on him because they're Indians. Big tirade. At that time, he was ordered off the scene, and he left for a few minutes, but later on, he was picked up and arrested for disorderly conduct.
Sprague Patrol Hot Springs. Subject was taken and led back to another area where a group of prisoners were being put together. He was coming from the Chamber of Commerce area. He did say that he was sent out of the area and that he was trying to get away from the area. He was inducted into the group that were going to be transported up to the sheriff's office. He did swear a few times and was quite racially inclined towards us officers that were conducting him. That's all.
I got the question
too. He also stated that he wanted one of us to kill him. Dale Stone, Highway Patrol. He did state that he wanted one of us to shoot him so we would have a dead nigger on our hands.
Defending defendant number 7, David Hill.
Benny Christensen, DCI. David Hill was one of the five individuals that were led in the courthouse to negotiate with the state's attorney. He was in and out of the courthouse several times. On the last time, just before the confrontation, he went out the door. He came back to the door. I unlocked it for him. He got inside the door, and he said, "Everybody in," and that time he hit me. I reached for the door to hold it shut, and he was pounding on me. And Means came through right behind him, and then Means and he and I went through it in the hallway there. And I managed to hold on to him, or stay close to him, until he was eventually apprehended at the end of the hall by Gary Cooper and myself. Also, during this confrontation, he had me down on the floor, and he had a 42-inch nightstick, and was pounding severely about my head and shoulders, and my right wrist. And at the same time, I got my chest kicked. And he was there the full time. Thank you.
Sprague, Troll, Hot Springs. This subject, David Hill, was one of the people that was observed on top of Bernie Christensen in the confrontation in the hallway. He was playing away with some type of stick, and I consequently was hitting people that were on top of Bernie, and in the particular area where Bernie was down. That's how David Hill can be identified.
What's your name, sir?
Bill Meyer. Mm-hmm. And I was in within a half a block, and an eyewitness to a yellow and red cab oval panel that was backed up to a motel on the corner, and I saw definitely arms being loaded from there into the trunks of cars, men and women. The gold,
when did this occur?
This occurred just before they set fire to the to that boat plant down there. I also had a police radio tuned in to all this disturbance from the time it started, that they made threats to blow up Pactola Dam, that they made threats to fire the sawmill at Keystone, that they made threats to destroy the substation here in Custer. I was tuned in all the while that they were searching for this van of explosives supposedly to have come in from Nebraska, and that they reported over police radio that there was a van backed up at the Custer Motel, that they were loading cases in it. Later on, that this van was supposed to have been stopped between Custer and Rapid City. I was supposed to have been loaded with explosives.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
I want to challenge means to taking a lie detector test, maybe banks or any of the other arsons.
Okay, thank you very much for your for coming forward. Thank you.
Now, concerning number eight, Francine Clifford.
When I saw her, she was in the back, Officer Mays, she was in the back of Mr. Philip Fly's car, I believe. She was being taken out by Officer Buchholz, and she was intoxicated and extremely profane at that time. Also, she was partly disrobed, she was in a very disorderly manner at that time. This is Officer Buchholz, and I was the one that took her out of the back of the car. At this time, she was attempting with a strap to strangle an Indian male in the back of the car. She was in a disrobed condition, and I told her to get out of the car about half a dozen times, and finally she was pulled out of the car and told to march across the street with the rest of them. And at this time, she got very unruly, and I assisted in handcuffing her.
Officer Stoner, Highway Patrol. This woman I did see over by the Chamber of Commerce building. And I looked back again, and she was laying on the ground, and some of her people carried her across the street. She was looked at and helped get some breathing started again. And then later again, I saw her as she was arrested by the other officers. They took her from the other vehicle.
She was in the vicinity of the Chamber of Commerce building at the time that it was burning, and the rest of the Indian element or riot element was over there. Is that, as I understand your testimony?
Right. There was at least 10 people with her right there at the building. Okay.
Sprague Patrol, Hot Springs. She was identified as the person, which was believed by myself at the time, to have walked into this burning building. This was the impression that I had at the time. Indians were screaming that she was a fire, and they had taken her out of the building or from near the building into the curb area, and at that time there was 10 to 15 people around her. Nothing was done with her at that time. They drug her across or carried her across to the sidewalk adjacent to the courthouse. And at that time, Officer Stoner went over and administered what first aid he could. From that time, she was not observed until later, and Officer Buchholz had her in custody and was attempting to take her in. Myself and another officer I can't identify did bodily carry her up the street. She had to be drugged. All the while, it appeared to me as the cameraman who were making this as an actor would make any picture.
Do I have your name, sir?
She resisted all the while, had to be bodily taken into custody, and therefore she was placed with the others in the area where the prisoners were being gathered.
This is Officer Buckhorst again, and at the time that she was being administered to first aid by Officer Stoner, she was witnessed by me there, and again, after I had handcuffed her, was witnessed being taken away by Officer Sprague.
Sprague, Hot Springs.
Charles Kilsreed.
Charles Kilsreed, I believe, was taken out of one of the vehicles that were returning into the area that had left the area. They came from the south through the Goodwin Road and went west on Highway 16 and came back. He was taken out of one of the vehicles. I don't recall
the vehicle. One of the vehicles that headed towards the bulk plant fire was started down there, and then later came back around?
Yes, he was in one of the vehicles that were in the group of vehicles that had went south to the dead end and came back.
Thank you.
Concerning Mr. Fred LeBeau.
Bill Morgan, Highway Patrol. This subject's still in a corner by the Chamber of Commerce office after the crowd had been run out of the courthouse. Kept hollering obscenities at us, threatening us. At one time he had a piece of pipe or a big club in his hand. We couldn't get at him until later on in the afternoon when the crowd started dispersing. At that time, Officer Stone and myself arrested him for disorderly conduct and inciting a riot.
Well, this Officer Stone and Howard Patrol from Up City. And this subject here was arrested over by the Chamber of Commerce building for disorderly conduct and inciting a riot.
And what was it, were you there when he was arrested?
Right.
What is it that you specifically recall about this individual's actions?
Mostly running out to the police officers and challenging them to take off their uniforms and this type and bad mouth and this mostly.
Fred LeBeau is number 10 on our list.
Jonas, not help him. Jonas, will you stand over here so the man can take your photograph? Your name, sir?
Jonathan Whiting.
Jonathan Whiting?
Donovan.
Oh, Donovan.
Donovan.
Oh, Donovan. Okay, I'm sorry. Donovan Whiting, W-H-I-T-I-N-G?
Yes.
Will you stand over here in front of the camera, Mr. Whiting?
Number 12, Donovan Whiting.
That's Stonewall Highway Patrol. And this subject was one of the members over by the Chamber of Commerce building when it was burning and helped carry the other girl across the street after she'd been in by the fire.
Do you remember anything else about his actions specifically?
Well, he was hollering at us and different obscenities in this type of situation.
He can be identified as one of the people that were in the Chamber of Commerce area. His actual throwing objects or whatnot, I can't testify to, but he was in the area. This big patrol.
Probation violation with the state.
South Dakota.
You got a hold on his authority, Richard King.
Okay.
No bond.
All right. Ernie?
Officer Morgan, Highway Patrol. This subject came down the street with three others headed south in the area between the burning Chamber of Commerce and the burning bulk station. They came out of a cloud of smoke and hollering and screaming like they were crazy. And Officer Stoner and myself arrested all four of them for disorderly conduct. The other three are also in custody. They, in turn, handed out a great amount of verbal abuse, but no physical problems.
That's Officer Stoner, Highway Patrol. This subject was apprehended down between the Chamber of Commerce and the bulk plant after they had come running on it with some smoke there and making a lot of noise and hollering and running down the street.
Sprague Patrol, I believe he was in another subject that was taken out of this caravan of cars previously mentioned. That was that had gone south and hit a dead end, came back, turned around, and was headed back, correction, east on the main street of town.
Concerning number 16, Anthony, this fellow was, came out of the courthouse, and right when we were trying to get in, interfered there, he interfered there. And later, he interfered with us at the Texaco station and also at the down at the Buckland.
Your name, sir?
Leo Harbaugh, fire chief, Custer.
You specifically remember this individual?
This individual, yes, sir.
Thank you, Leo.
Concerning Larry Redshirt.
Officer Morgan, Highway Patrol. This subject was one of a group of four that came running out of smoke from the burning Chamber of Commerce area, headed south towards the burning bulk plant area. Come screaming out, hollering in a threatening manner. Officer Stoner and myself stopped all four of them and arrested them for disorderly conduct.
This guy here?
Officer Mays, I saw this man at the initial confrontation. He was in the main group. And he was one of the participants. He did have a weapon in his hand. I didn't actually see him strike anyone, but he was in the melee.
Officer Stoner, I this subject was, seen him by the Chamber of Commerce building, coming out of smoke, hollering, and down between the fire trucks, and Morgan and myself arrested him there.
Concerning number 17, Mr. Larry Redshirt, Chief of Police.
I'm the fire chief Custer. Oh, yeah. Leo Harbaugh, fire chief Custer, South Dakota. This man was, when we started to move from the north side of the courthouse, was standing at the intersection, and with a number of others, and throwing everything possible at the equipment. One of them hit the front of one of our trucks, the windshield, and tried his utmost to get in the unit.
He was, this was at a time when we were attempting to get those trucks in a position to quell the fire.
We had them, we were going to the front, all around to the front of the courthouse.
Clifford, Chief.
Clifford Paul, he was seen in the original confrontation in the hallway, and I myself saw him strike an officer, although I can't say which officer it was. And I assisted in quelling this man, and he was handcuffed by an officer behind me and taken out, I believe, from the courthouse.
Concerning Mr. Emerson Blackfeet, number 19.
This man, I'm Leo Harbaugh, fire chief, Custer, South Dakota. And the man that we're talking about right now is a man of two firebombs ahead of us at and in the courthouse.
Right here. Okay. Number 21, Reginald Black.
Mr. Black Echo was in the initial confrontation in the hallway at the courthouse, and he was taken by several of our officers immediately, handcuffed and taken out the back. He was the original participant, and at the time I saw him, he was swinging and holding on to swinging the officer by the arm, one of our officers, and I took him off our officer, and he was immediately taken into custody. Officer Mays.
Well, that's the end. That's the end of the defendants and the finish of the tape.
This subject here, I was correcting this, they are starting to have it full. And this subject was
inserting Reginald Black Elk.
Reginald Black Elk, the one here. And was inside the courthouse, swinging a club and hitting different officers. And he was put by to the ground by one of the officers, and he was handcuffed in the building.
Thank you.